Blog Talk Radio. p.m., Monday night, August 2nd, 2021. It's already August 2021. This is the first Monday in the month of August. We have went through the summer knowing that God has shifted in the spirit realm, knowing that God has set his atmosphere. God has given us another chance to get it right before him. On tonight, our very own Dr. Serena Wright will be ministering to us. She has a word for you, you, as well as me. She's not only going to minister to us, but she's going to allow God's word to minister to herself also, because we have not took on the spirit that I have arrived. We have the spirit that says, Lord, me first. Minister to me first, oh God. And I just thank God for what he's doing in this ministry. It's called Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. Some of y'all don't get that. Iron Sharpening Iron. And it's one of our very own women of God, a woman of God, we could say, that will be speaking on tonight. She's on the air listening while I'm introducing her. But I want you to understand that the motto to this program is called Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So for those that don't know, and for those that do know, while you're watching here on Facebook Live, you could also hear what the woman of God is saying by the way of telephone for blog talk. God said, if you have ears, hear. And if you have a heart that's pondering after his word, receive what the woman of God is going to release in the air. I pray that you have ears to hear and allow God to minister to you on tonight. Dr. Wright, it's in your hands if you're ready to go.
Yes, thank you so much. How are you, Blog Talk Radio? Listen, my goodness, God is so on the throne, and we are so ready to share the word of the Lord. We are believing that we have found everyone in their rightful places. Listen, you don't have to have perfect circumstance to be in your rightful place, because the believer's place is in the place of believing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The believer's place is in the place of believing, in the place where you have refused to take down and refused to take back, when you have refused everything that does not line up with the word of the Lord, then you are in your rightful place. When you are declaring the word and studying the word and living a life that is worship, hallelujah, and opening your mouth and praising God and celebrating him and telling of his goodness, inviting those that have been blinded by sin and held captive by the adversary to partake in a life that's heaven right here on earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Living in the place. Hallelujah. My God in heaven. Living in the place where God can use our voice and use our resources and use our efforts and use our accomplishments and use our journey and use our successes and use our failures to glorify him and to let everyone know, those that have been separated and those that are without access, to let them know that he is still on the throne. If you are found in your place, hallelujah, then just don't move. Just stand. And have you done everything you can possibly do? Just stand there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you got it all right, stand there. If you know you didn't miss a couple of letters, why don't you stand? Just stand on that word and stand on the wonderfulness of God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. We are just so thrilled and honored. It's just an amazing thing when you know yourself and you know your frame, and you read in the Bible that God knows your frame is thus also. But he's still willing to use us to allow us to share what we've learned and who he's blown up inside of us to be. And so that's what I find just an awe that God is hallelujah, willing to use me in this way. And so I thank God for that and everything that that means. Hallelujah, glory to God. And so as we move forward, we look at, if you would go with me to 1 Corinthians, you would go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Hallelujah, glory to God. If you would go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you would go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and look with me as I studied Paul. And what Paul did was he began to talk to the Corinthians about his ministry. He began to talk to the Corinthians about his exuberance and his excitement in sharing the truth of the gospel. And so as we go forward and we see that Paul would kind of look into the word and say, listen, I'm excited about this. I'm excited about how I'm ministering to you. I go and I become all things to all men just so I could win them. There was an exuberance about Paul in this 9th chapter because he's just telling the Corinthians, listen, I'm just excited because I'm here and I get to tell of the goodness of Jesus Christ. And this is not so that you can be glorified. This is not for you. It's for me because of everything that I receive when I minister to you. That's why I keep on doing it. And so he's going on and just exalting them and explaining how he's so fulfilled in his assignment to minister the truth of the gospel to God's people. And so the part in the 24th verse of this 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians that we'll look at today is when he switches, because he begins to use an analogy of a race of that time called the Isthmian. It's similar to what we would call the Olympics, and they even had Olympic-type races in that day, but the race that he was referencing was the race that was coming up most recently called the Isthmian race. And so they were like competitive races, kind of like the Olympics. And so he was trying to explain to them how excited he was about sharing the gospel and living the gospel and living the truth of Jesus Christ. And then he starts to make this analogy to the Isthmian races in the 24th verse. And that's where we'll start. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so as we talk, as I begin to look as to what Paul was saying, we're just going to do a teaching lesson. I began to see that he was giving a strategy on how to live a fulfilled life in Christ, how to live where you're just so excited about sharing the goodness of Jesus, how you're just so determined that no matter what you have to do, he says, I owe no man anything, but I have just come to learn of their culture. He said, I didn't become like them. I maintained myself in Christ, but I just began to learn of their culture so that I could find a way to start a conversation so that I could tell them about Jesus. Paul was so excited. He had this relentlessness about him that always draws me back to study him because he was very learned. He was very privileged. But he said all of that I counted as absolute waste once he came to know who Jesus Christ was. And so when we look into Corinthians in this 24th verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the 24th verse, he begins to talk about the strategy he uses or the analogy he uses to show the people he has managed to live this fulfilled life in Christ. He uses this analogy to show the people how he has lived this fulfilled life in Christ. But let's put a parenthesis there. And I said, but Holy Spirit, why are we talking about this? We are on the end of what would seem to be a global shutdown, and we seem to be on the end of it, and things are on the upswing. And why are we talking about this now? And Holy Spirit began to say, because there are so many people that have been caught up, but they're not caught up in my glory. They're not caught up in purpose. They're not caught up in the assignment to move the king's agenda. They're caught up in those things that would lend themselves to a system that we're in, but we're not of. But Paul was able to maintain an enthusiasm. He was able to maintain a relentlessness. He was able to maintain a focus that he was undaunted, no matter what they did to him, no matter what they said to him, no matter how they shamed him, embarrassed him, threatened him, no matter what he lost or what he gained. He said, I count it all for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And so it is that level of resilience that draws me to Paul, to study him and to learn of him and to dig into how did he think and how did he shape his mind around the truth and the revelation of the gospel, that he never tired in moving the king's agenda. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know, people of the Most High, that when we come over on this side, we told God we take a full-time assignment to move the king's agenda. We said that we would lay down our own agenda, that we would lay as a sacrifice on his altar all the things that we wanted and all the ways that we feel and all the things that we know, to take on the excellency, the Bible says, hallelujah, of Jesus Christ. But don't you know that as life continues, it can become so easy to be distracted, to lose our focus, to fall over and say, well, you know, like Janet Jackson asked God, well, what have you done for me lately? Y'all know the song. So it's so easy to become distracted and say, what am I doing this for? What am I sacrificing for? Excited about what? Why do I keep ministering to these people and they don't seem to want to hear me? See, those are some of the things that I'm just going to be honest, they tempt me. I know they probably didn't tempt anyone listening. There's no one listening that's gotten wearied and gotten frustrated and said, what is the point of this? When will we see this turn that we've been promised? When will we see the glory of the Lord manifest? And so I study Paul because he maintained a level of excitement in the God that he discovered. He maintained a love for the God that he was in relationship with. He maintained his focus on his assignment no matter what happened. Come what may, they stoned him, they beat him, they threatened him, they locked him up, they jailed him, they spit on him, they accused him, they lied on him. And no matter what he says, but as long as they're saying my name, then God being glorified. If they're talking about they put me in jail because I preach the gospel, and preaching the gospel has to come out of their mouth in that sentence. Paul had boiled himself down. Somebody say that I need. Go ahead and be honest. Say, Paul was focused, and I need it. Go ahead. Tell the truth. Say, I need it, because, see, that last hit I took, I started looking at finances, and when I got evicted from that last house foreclosure, made me start thinking about real estate and how I can brand myself. And when I lost that last job, that's when I started looking at, you know, well, how do I find and update my resume? And see, if you be honest, if it's not now, there was a time that things hit you so hard. It was that last time that you found your husband's girlfriend's phone number, not the three before, but that last one. You said, you know what, I'm done with this sacrifice, and what is the point? It was the last time that girl cussed you out, not the 500 times before, but that last time. You said, I'm done. Get your stuff. Be dismissed. You see, there is a point. Hallelujah, glory to God, where the adversary will seek to press and to wear us out and to press against us with circumstances. And that last doctor visit, you said, if I come here one more time and this woman or this man say something to me discouraging, I'm done with this. See, let me tell you, there's a place where he presses to wear us down and to wear us out and to make mockery of our God. And so God in his gracious wisdom has left on record people like Paul. Lord have mercy. I can't get to my notes. He's left on record people like Paul that were relentless. Somebody say relentless. Relentless. He said, no matter what you do, if I die, it will be glory. If I live, it will be good. No matter what happened, they threatened to kill him. He said, well, to live is Christ. To die is gain. What do you do with a person that's so locked and loaded that even when you threaten them and you intimidate them and you call them names and you disparage them and you talk about their children and talk about their spouses and call them stupid and you call them all out and call them dummies and call them sellouts? What do you do with a person that won't back down? Somebody say Paul was relentless. He was relentless. He was relentless. And so I say, oh, God, I'm so excited that we get to share some of Paul's unlocking, how he managed to maintain that attitude, how he managed to maintain his focus. So if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're looking at the 24th verse is when he begins to compare his mindset, his way of dealing with life, his way of mastery of himself, that he would stay focused on his goal, to the Isthmian races, the Isthmian races. Hallelujah. And so he says in the Amplified Bible, he says, do you not know that in a race all runners run their very best to win? It says, do you not know in a race all runners run their very best to win, but only one receives the prize? Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. 25, now every athlete who goes into training and competes is disciplined, exercises self-control in all things. They do it to win a crown that withers, but us an imperishable crown that cannot wither. 26, therefore I don't run without a definite goal. I don't flail around like one beating the air like shadow boxing, but like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified and unfit as a servant. Hallelujah, glory to God. So let's dig into here. Let's dig into here. And so he says in 24, he says, do you not know that in the race all runners run? And so I said, yeah, what he's showing us, and that's where our first point about Paul's secret to his relentless enthusiasm to serve the king. He said, don't you know all runners run, but only one is going to win? So look at how this has been unlocked. Do you realize that even in the Olympics that are going on now, they all have trained for years. They all have prepared. They all have trained for hours and hours on day. And if we look at a running race in particular, they're all going to hit their mark. They're going to be set to take off. And when that gun fires, they're all going to run. They're all giving the same effort. They're all giving 100%. And the Bible says they run their very best because they're all trying to win. But the reality is only one is going to win the prize. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound like a really encouraging launch pad, Paul, if you want to be honest. But if you look at it, he says, see, but what I understand is that if I don't apply effort to my life in Christ, I have no way of winning. Somebody say, you've got to. to apply effort. See, and go real slow with me. Give me a little grace here. See, I know that this has never happened on Blog Talk, but I've heard before, you know, when I scroll on Facebook, that people say, you know, well, what we're going to do, we're going to declare the word, and when you get home, everything's going to be different. And if you turn around three times, there's going to be money where, there, you know, a check's going to come in the mail. So just turn around three times and say, there's no more poverty in my mailbox, only checks. You know, and so we've got all of these type of things that may have lent themselves to one particular testimony, or they may have lent themselves to a miracle God did for one person, or they may have lent themselves to a supernatural intervention that someone heard about. And so, but we make them as if they're doctrinal truths. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That there's not going to be any effort required. That you're not going to have to get up and study your Bible. That you're not going to have to take the effort to walk over to the TV and turn it off. Oh, my goodness. That you're not going to have to apply the effort to get your Bible when you prefer to be sleeping. Somebody say, you've got to run. You've got to apply the effort. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it's finished. He finished his part. He didn't finish your part. You've got to apply your effort. You've got to get up. You've got to study the word to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. You've got to know the word and understand the word and dig into the scripture for revelation, for those, the truths that will unlock the things that hold you captive. Somebody say, you've got to run. You've got to get up. You've got to make a plan to apply effort to the promise that has already been given. See, because the promise has already been given, we can mistakenly believe that no effort need be applied. But that one runner that wins was one of the ones that ran. Hallelujah, glory to God. You've got to apply some effort. And I don't want to be mean to anybody's pastors. I know everybody listening, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening on the replay 30 years from now, everybody's pastor is the best pastor. Everybody's pastor is amazing. Everybody's pastor is a phenomenal leader. But just going to listen to the pastor 2 hours on Sunday is not enough effort, somebody say, to stay in the race. You've got to apply effort on the daily. You've got to apply effort. You've got to run. And you've got to be prepared for a long run against other people that are at the top of their game. Somebody say, you've got to apply effort. You've got to apply effort daily. But I'm in the Bible because we're supposed to crucify our flesh. Somebody say daily. See, God never set this thing up for us to go from Sunday to Sunday and from 2 hours a week of 166 hours of absolute carnality and 2 hours of listening to somebody else espouse the word on Sunday and believe that that was the effort that this life that requires. Somebody say, you've got to apply the effort. We've got to be ready to get up, to study those scriptures, to get a commentary, to look them up online. There are so many resources online now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There are some that can only be purchased, but there are a great deal of them that are right under Mr. Google. Somebody say, you've got to apply some effort. How do people conquer? How do people maintain? How do they withstand? How are they resilient? How do they maintain their tenacity? How do they continue to tell of the goodness of the Lord? How do you save away carnality? How do you keep away temptation? How do you not fall in sin? Somebody say, you've got to apply your effort. He said, all the runners are running their very best race. They're trying their hardest. Even if they come in and get the silver or the bronze, don't you know they were going for the gold? They were giving it everything they had? Don't you know they were reading the Bible? They were studying the Bible. They got in Bible study groups. They got in Facebook Bible study groups. They listened to Blog Talk Radio every Monday. They set up and had a Bible study at their church. They tossed scriptures around and ideas with their friends. They gave it all they had. They looked up commentaries. They signed up for Bible classes. They worshiped and they prayed. They sung songs unto the Lord. Somebody say, you've got to apply. You've got to apply some effort. We've got to get away from this somebody's going to do it, spin around in a circle, and everything's going to be different. No, no, no. Your bad attitude, woman of God's going to change when you apply some effort to that word so that the word can change it. Hallelujah. That appetite for you, for that mistress, sir, that appetite is going to change when you apply some effort to this word so the word can change you. The word is infallible. The word has no lack, but we've got to apply the effort. We have got to be willing to apply effort, even if we find ourselves say, oh goodness, I said I was going to read 3 chapters today and I only read 2. And so that might not be a win. That might not be a gold medal, but somebody say it's effort. We've got to get away from those things that lend themselves to carnalness, laziness. Somebody else is going to do it. I'll wait for the pastor to stay up all night studying the scripture, go on Sunday and listen to his opinion about it. No, no, no. I need this for myself every day. I need a word from the Lord every day. I need to apply the effort to hear him. I need to apply that effort to get out the bed early and to get on my knees, find myself in my prayer posture, in my prayer chair, and under my prayer mantle, and I'm praying and seeking him. His face. Somebody say, you've got to apply the effort. I believe the North American church is probably the biggest culprit in believing that the gospel is similar to magic, that you can spin around and do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around, because that's not what it's all about. Somebody say, you've got to apply some effort. Go ahead, tell the truth. Tell your neighbor, go 3 doors down, make a left, tell that neighbor, and you're going to have to apply some effort. And as you're walking back to your house, tell yourself, you got to apply some effort. See, the words are not going to jump out the Bible into your mind. The revelation of the Bible is not going to jump off the pages into your heart. The power that's unto salvation is not going to jump out through the revelation of the word without you applying some effort. He says all the runners run. They're there. They're present. They show up. They're applying themselves. He goes on to say, hallelujah. He says every athlete goes into training and is disciplined and exercises self-control. Don't you know that the application of effort daily is a disciplined life? The second thing, we've got to, number one, apply effort. We have got to apply effort to our salvation. The gift was free. The effort is going to cost you. It's going to cost you your favorite show. It's going to cost you your favorite meal. Somebody say apply effort. Number two, we've got to become disciplined. This life is a life of discipline. It's a call to discipline. So if we are undisciplined, does that mean we are not saved? No. That means we need to apply more effort. Somebody say to being disciplined. If you know that is an area and you say, you know what, I'm really disciplined over here. When it comes to this right here, I do not miss a beat. But every single time I can do good with this one for 3 weeks and then I fall off. That's why we've got to apply that effort. That's why we've got to apply that word, because we understand that it is the discipline. It is the self-control. It is the bringing under. It is the bringing under, the consistent bringing under and application of the effort that Paul shares with us that keeps him in that place of exuberance, that keeps him locked in that relationship with God, that keeps the relationship fresh, that keeps him going back, that keeps him with a passion to minister to others. Somebody say he was present. He applied the effort and he lived a disciplined life. He spoke of the discipline and he lived it. I'm going to prove it to you. He goes on, number three. He says, listen to this. It's so powerful. In 26, he says, because I don't run without a definite goal. Number three, he says in verse 26, because I don't run without a definite goal. Somebody say, get a goal. Get a goal. Get one from God. Now, don't make it your goal that, you know, you're going to, you know, steal, you know, five bananas from. Get a godly goal. Get to God and get a goal. Say, God, what are we working on right now? God, what are we working on in my emotions? What are we working on in my discipline? What are we working on in my compassion? What if somebody say, why don't you go to God and get a goal? See, because he had the goal that he was going to serve God with all his power and might. He said with all his heart, all his mind, and all his strength, he had a goal. And in order to meet that goal, he began to fashion his life in a way that kept him after what he wanted. He wanted to serve God. He wanted to minister to the people. He wanted them to be saved. He wanted them to have a new life in Christ. He wanted them to understand the grace of God. He wanted them to understand how to exercise faith in this realm. Somebody say, get a goal, because he had a goal in mind. That is what will make the effort not become drudgery. That is what would make the discipline not become mundane. Somebody say, you've got to have a goal. He had a goal in mind that he would serve God as vibrantly, as relentlessly as he was in persecuting Christians. He had a goal to serve God with the same tenacity. Let me tell you something. If you just get a goal to serve God the same way you serve the adversary, my God in heaven, we'd have some killers in the kingdom. If you just made a goal that if I was not a sit-down, shut-up type in the world, I'm not going to be a sit-down, shut-up type in the kingdom. If I was I can show you better than I could tell you in the world, I'm going to show people that God is wonderful and not even open my mouth. Let me tell you something. Get a goal. Get a godly goal. Paul promised himself. He says, anything that I had done to crucify or persecute the Christians, that I will live my life demonstrating the wonderfulness of the God that transformed my life. He applied effort. Somebody say he had a disciplined life and he had a goal in mind. Listen, listen, we've got two more. He goes on and he makes this powerful analogy. He says, I don't beat in there like a boxer, but like a boxer, he says, I discipline my body and make it my slave. And so you look and now you say, now, first of all, he wasn't even really talking so much about physical bodily exercise. He actually was just, he was using that analogy of the racer, of the athlete, but he wasn't really pivoting on their physicality per se. He was just saying these same things because I plan to win in what I said I was going to do for Christ. This is my winning strategy. And so, but in 27, he takes a pivot. He says, but like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body. I said, well, Paul, wait a minute now. He said, and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I said, okay, so see, I see you getting back to your original focus here, talking to us about how to stay enthusiastic and relentless in ministering the gospel and seeking that people be saved. But I couldn't let this 27 go, and this is our fourth point. He says, but like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body. Somebody say, he says, and make it my slave. So I had to study it out. I said, there's something locked. There's something locked in there, and I can't get a hold of it. I begin to meditate and study. And what Paul was saying, what he was intimating, was that he realized in his body, in his own appetites, in his own inclinations, was the only adversary he had against him. My God in heaven. He realized, he said, look, I'll make the effort, and I'll live the discipline like God has called me to. And if I decided to go after the goal that is before me, to live a life in Christ that is relentless and enduring, then the only thing I've got to do next is identify my enemy. My God in heaven, he says, I know what problems lie in what I like and how I feel and what I want and how fine she is or how good that tastes, especially when I'm fasting. He said, see, he identified. He said, the only problem I'm going to have, because he didn't mean, this word didn't translate physical body. He meant his own flesh carnal self. He said, if I can keep my flesh under subjection, I'm not going to have no problems. Somebody say, I'm not going to have no problems. Paul's not going to have no problems, and I'm not either. Say, I'm going to keep my flesh under subjection, and I'm not going to have no problems. Because one of his strategies, besides applying effort and living a disciplined life and setting a goal, Paul identified and annihilated his enemy. He said, it's those things that I like. It's those things that I want. It's how I feel about it when God says feel another way. It's what I said I'm going to say when God has already told me what to say. He said, those are the things that not only do I discipline them strictly. In one translation, he says, I beat my body and put it under. In this translation, he says, I make it my slave, meaning that it can only do as I direct. I never let my body, what I want, what I think, how I feel, I never let it get out ahead of me. He says, I bring it under, and one translation say, I keep it under. Do you know that Paul identified his enemy and was able to stay enthusiastic? He identified. He said, you know, I got an anger problem, or I'm real jealous. I am locked in lazy. See, he identified the problem, and he says, what I'm going to do if I don't do nothing else, I'm going to bring this under subjection, because the biggest problem to me meeting my goal, the biggest problem to me applying effort, the biggest problem to me living a disciplined life, somebody say, it's me, I'm not going to have no problems. But Paul said, see, I'm going to go ahead and put this under because I'm not going to have no problems. Because if my flesh is a problem, I'm not going to have no problems. If my anger is a problem, see, I'm going to be so nice. When I tell you I had an anger problem, you're not going to believe me. See, I'm going to be so compassionate. When I tell you how cold-hearted I used to be, you're not going to believe me. Because if cold-heartedness is going to be a problem, somebody say, I'm not going to have no problems. He says, I'm going to bring my body under, and I'm going to keep it under. You've got to identify the enemy, somebody say, and annihilate him. You've got to apply effort. You've got to live a disciplined life. There must be a goal set by Christ before you, and you've got to identify what could be the problem. And like Paul, he said, listen, my body, my inclinations, my appetites, how we always did it. See, this how we always do it, and we always argue like this. See, I just didn't normalize this madness. See, sometimes we can create appetites that will absolutely defeat our goal in God. We can create appetites, lasciviousness, and ways that we gratify ourselves that are absolute sabotages to what we have in front of us as a goal. But Paul says, listen, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you right here, this is easy. You don't even have to figure it out. Somebody say, bring it under. Go ahead and repeat after me and keep it under. Don't let it up. Don't let that anger up, not one time, sir. Don't let anger come up to the surface, because Paul says, I brought it under and I keep it under. I know she used to be real cute, short dresses. She was hot as fire. Don't let her come up. Not only should you put her under, sis, keep her under. Keep your body under subjection, not your physical body, but your appetites and your inclinations. I know you know how to manipulate that out of a brother, but God says pray until he wants to do it. Don't manipulate him. Bring that manipulation under. Somebody say, keep it under. See, you ain't going to have no problems. See, I'm not going to have no problems with witchcraft and mind control. Uh-huh. I'm going to give everybody freedom, the same freedom God gives to choose, because I'm not going to have no problems. I'm going to put witchcraft under, and then I'm going to keep it under. Uh-huh. I could manipulate you. I could scream and intimidate you and make you agree with me, but you know what? I'm going to bring witchcraft under, and I'm going to keep it under. I'm going to bring the selfishness under. Somebody say, I'm going to keep it under. I'm not going to have no problems. If selfishness is going to be a problem, I'm not going to have no problems, because we've got the answer right here in the scripture. We've got the promises of God, and we're right at the helm of our breakthrough. We're right at the place God wants us, and the only thing we've got to do is apply that effort. Get up and nurture that promise. Get up and declare the word. Live a life that is disciplined. Don't you know that he said he called us to be disciples? Disciples are disciplined helpers. That's what he called for. He says you've got to live a disciplined life. You've got to take out the slack. You've got to bring in the edges. You know the Bible says narrow is the way. That's a disciplined way. You've got to be disciplined. Somebody say, and set a goal. This is not just random. This is not praying amiss, beating the air, shadow boxing. I'm here and there and everywhere. No. I'm planted. I'm planted by the rivers of water. Somebody say, you've got to have a goal. And what Paul did in this 27th verse, he identified anything that could be a problem. He said, I'm not going to have no problems. Anything that would dull my relationship, I'm not going to have no problems. Anything that would take my attention and focus away from God, he said, I'm not going to have no problems, because the Bible says I not only bring my body under, he says, I keep it under. I keep it under subjection. I make it my slave. It must ask permission. It cannot run its own way. It does not dominate. It does not discuss. It does not suggest. And I give it no agreement. He says, I'm not going to have, somebody say, I'm not going to have no problems. See, the way I used to do things, see, I would cheat a little bit and do a little bit legal. But if cheating is a problem, somebody say, I'm not going to have no problems. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to live an exuberant life in Christ. Joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Living under the hand of God. Walking in the place where favor is abundant. Living in a body that is healed and healthy. Walking in emotions that are mature and subject to the word. Somebody say, this is how we do it. That's all that Paul wanted to say. He said, listen, let me tell you how I know. Because at the end, he says, because I'm not going to preach to you. I'm not going to announce the race and then lose. Paul says, no, I'm going to win this thing. I'm going to win for others, and I'm going to win for myself. See, because there's a possibility, and I want us to hear Holy Spirit very well. That if we don't apply like Paul, do you know you can preach to others? They get saved. Their lives be transformed. They're new. They're not angry. They're not bitter. They're living. Their marriages are repaired. Their children have come into the ministry and are living for God. And you yourself be lost. Hallelujah. Somebody listen. Don't you know that God had made this thing so simple? The Bible says a fool could miss it. He said a fool could make a mistake. I've made it so plain. God, Paul laid it out right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, you're going to have to get up and apply some effort. You're going to have to show up for your salvation. You're going to have to read the Bible and study it for yourself. You're going to have to bring them lines in and live a disciplined life. You're going to have to set before you the goal that God has for you. And somebody say, anything that's a problem, declare to it, I'm not going to have no problems. So I'm not going to have no selfishness problems. No, I'm not going to have I'm not going to have any lascivious problems. I'm not going to have any greedy problems. No, no, no. I'm not going to have any problems trying to serve God and man. Somebody say, I'm not going to have any problems. I'm not going to have any problems. I will not only bring my body under. Somebody say, he said he would keep it under. And that's the way. That's the way that he gave us. And that's the blueprint he laid out for us. And wouldn't you just know that he goes on to give us a warning? He says, because listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You can be an amazing success. You can preach to others. They can live this thing and have wonderful success. And you yourself be lost. Somebody say, no, no, no. No, no, no. I'm going to follow the blueprint. I'm not going to have. I'm not going to have any problems. Father God, in the name of Jesus, before we turn this back over to the woman of God, we will declare your word that it is falling on good ground and we shall live in the fruit thereby, that we will apply our own effort, that we will show up for our race and we will run, that we will live a life that is disciplined, that we will walk the narrow way with the goal that you have given us before us. Avoiding every situation that would be stirred by our inclinations or our appetites, that we would bring them under and we would keep them under, that we would find ourselves basking in the glory of God that is only an inheritance of those that are kingdom. We thank you for it now, God. We give you praise and we give you glory for the fruit of your word being a harvest in our life. In Jesus' name, woman of God, it's back to you.
Amen, amen. We want to thank everybody on Facebook for listening in as the doctor brought forth the word on tonight. I told you there was a message for you as well as her ministering to herself and for me. Dr. Wright has written a book called The Last Prescription You'll Ever Need. It's for sale. It's on Amazon. Please go to Dr. Wright's page and go on Amazon and request the book, The Last Prescription You'll Ever Need by Dr. Serena Wright, and let it be a blessing in your life. So Facebook, we want to say thank you for tuning in. We want to let everybody know on Blog Talk that tuned in. We appreciate you being faithful to this ministry and tuning in as we bring forth this ministry on every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next Monday will be our very own Pastor Servant Troy Thomas. Thank you for tuning in every Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The first and third Friday of the month is myself, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, who will be ministering. And on the second and fourth Friday of every month is Prophet Antoine Thomas, who will be ministering. Thank you all for tuning in on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with our very own apostle, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and Minister Sheila Kaiser, and Minister Brandon Kaiser. We want to tell you that our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Dr. Wright has put on the Facebook page, the last prescription you'll ever need is https://www.amazon.com/dp/0996782451/. It's a whole lot of stuff. So if you go on my page, you'll be able to see the link she put down there. Please support Dr. Wright's book. It's awesome when you can get a word from God, and then when you can get God's word that you can have in your hand beside his permanent word, which is was spoken to us, and we was able to read it with her straight from the Bible. But get this book and apply it to your life, the last prescription you'll ever need. I thank God for being a part of this ministry. I want you all to understand what I just said. I thank God for being a part of this ministry, because every ministry is not what God is a part of. some ministry is self-proclaimed ministry, but this was a ministry that has been orchestrated, anointed, appointed, and directed by God. So I want you all to touch and agree with me right now. We ask God to cover Dr. Wright, and we cover, ask God to cover all of us that look in on Facebook, listen in on Blog Talk, who's looking at Facebook and listening to Blog Talk live, and those that comes back and look at it in the archives or on the replay. We ask God to cover us and keep all retaliation. Keep the enemy's hand away from our life, our family, our finance, our homes, and everything that we're going through. We're asking God to bless us, keep us, and cover us. We ask God to keep the enemy away. We command Satan to keep his hands off of God's children. Keep his hand off the woman of God that boldly brought the word of God forward, where you can sit back and just meditate and just see and hear what God is saying, which you could save it in your heart and let God minister to you as well. We have given you our final remarks, and I just want you all to know, Blog Talk, if you have anything to say to the woman of God, I'm asking the apostle to please open the lines and let you all speak. And at that time, I'm going to be in the Facebook Live. Good night, Facebook, and Blog Talk, is the lines are open.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Okay, this is Cecilia. I just wanted to tell you all, I thank God for not just for everything that was said on tonight, but for that word. Oh, my God. If we knew how many people try to win a race without any effort, my goodness. We knew how many people try to get promoted without any effort. My goodness, that word was so good. It was so good until I said, my goodness, I could have recorded that and played it for a whole bunch of people. I won't call no names, but whoo, during the feedback meetings, that would be powerful. So thank you so much, Dr. Wright. I also wanted to say, if there's anyone that may you've been hit by COVID or different things with your finances, if you need, no, I know you need that book Dr. Serena Wright has already written called The Last Prescription You'll Ever Need. Just if you're my friend on Facebook, just let me know, and we will make sure that you get that book so that your finances, your life, every element of your life will surely be blessed and healed. Phenomenal book by a phenomenal woman that loves God. Thank you.
Thank you, woman of God. Apostle, thank you for those words. Is there anyone else that would like to speak into the woman of God's life for tonight?
Good evening. Thanks, God. This is Minister Margo. I'd just like to thank Dr. Wright for her words on tonight. I'd like to thank her for bringing 1 Corinthians 9 alive for us, helping us to understand what Paul was doing and how much we can use this word every day of our lives. I love what she talked about, unrelenting faith. We have to make sure we're running our race. Thank you so much, woman of God. Be blessed. And just keep doing what God's telling you to do. Thank you again. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Margo. Is there anyone else, please? Okay. With that all being said, Dr. Wright, we would be turning it back over to you for the close out the program. And I thank God for you on tonight.
Thank you so much, woman of God. Thank you so much, Apostle-elect. We already know, you know, we have talked and laughed and about how you all just been
so encouraging to me and just so sincerely loving, you know, who God has allowed us to be. And it is so rare and so, so appreciated. I can't even begin to say. But so I definitely appreciate you all sincere embracing the ministry and the things that God would have us to share and allowing me to consistently share with the audience you've cultivated on Blog Talk. I have no doubt that as the archives begin to build and people begin to listen to them for hundreds and hundreds of years to come, that they will know that God had them in mind when he put this ministry together. And so I just love you all just indefinitely. And Father God, we just thank you right now because there's simply no one like you. God, not only have you given us the gift of salvation and redemption, but God, you have also laid out for us a blueprint of how we might run this race and how we should obtain those things and how we stay in your face that we may continue with enthusiastic exuberance to press into those things that would advance your kingdom. We thank you so much for everything that is spoken across this ministry, those that have attended this ministry, that their increase be, God, so undeniable because of their faithful application of the assignment to the people. We thank you for those that are listening and those that will decide to apply their effort, to add discipline to their life, to focus on the goals you have given them and get rid of anything that would cause any hindrance or delay. We thank you right now, God, that anytime we pray, ask, declare, God, or make affirmations according to your word, that we already have those things. It's only that we by grace through faith, access them and bring them into this realm, that they manifest and become executable resources to bring others to you, and we thank you for it. We give your name all praise and all glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you all again.